Health sector changes for universal access. Economic policies that favor substantial increases in public investment on ending poverty and improving the conditions of the poor would by definition encourage public investment in health. To move from increased public investment in health toward universal access would require firm action by governments to regulate the private sector in health to be in consonance with national health goals. Governments need to intervene in the market for healthcare services to offset the very unequal position of patient/consumer vis-a-vis the health provider through, for example, quality control measures to prevent provider-induced demand for unnecessary or irrational healthcare services. Entry of international private players into the provision of healthcare services also needs to be regulated, with permission given to operate only if they will expand availability of services and access to affordable and good quality care. In this context, it is time to re-examine, using the above criteria, a role played by GHIs and of a role of multilateral and bilateral donors and international NGOs in the promotion of the private sector in health in many LMICs. Page 24. Suitable prepayment mechanisms are needed to ensure that ability to pay does not deter access at the time of illness. The general consensus in this regard is that tax-based public financing of healthcare services would be more likely to contribute to universal access than other mechanisms of financing health services. This is especially so if there is a progressive system of taxation of income and wealth and if these are the main contributors to tax revenue. Such a redistributive and inclusive mechanism would provide cross-subsidies for the poor from contributions of the better off in society. An important component of an action agenda for universal access would be to block individual for-profit voluntary private insurance. In societies with high income inequalities, private insurance creates a two-tier system of care, with the rich using private health care services paid for through private insurance while the economically most vulnerable use free at the point of service delivery public health care services. This has the potential to erode the public health system through drain of human and other resources from the public to the private sector. Under private health insurance, where providers are paid on a fee-for-service basis, the healthcare system tends to evolve towards high technology/high administrative costs/high exclusion path. This creates pressure on the public sector to also adopt high-tech care, skewing public investment towards tertiary and secondary care. Universal access to healthcare services would not be possible unless drug and medical product costs are contained and the proceeds of scientific research become a global public good to benefit humankind. There is a need to challenge patent protection for monopolistic control and maximizing profits and to challenge TRIPS in order to protect people's rather than corporations' interests. Universal access to SRH needs to be seen within the context and larger goal of universal access to healthcare services. Approaches that focus only on one specific area, such as a reproductive health or HIV and AIDS, may result in inefficient investment of resources in weak health systems and may even result in their further weakening and not achieve the desired goal. Within the tax-funded healthcare system aimed at universal rather than targeted coverage, a comprehensive range of SRH services, see WHO, 2007, need to be made a part of the essential services package. If the range of SRH services provided is narrow, then there will not be adequate financial protection from catastrophic health expenditure. Important areas for immediate action include substantial investment in increasing availability of services overall and prioritizing closing the gap across rural/urban locations and geographic regions of the country. Consultation with communities about appropriate and acceptable healthcare services is essential to greater usage. In many instances, negotiation and cooperation between state health service providers and community-based organizations can resolve the cultural and social barriers to access. For example, negotiation about acceptable methods of contraception can increase contraceptive use. Universal access to SRH services cannot be achieved unless deformable barriers are confronted and removed. These are Vertical line legislative restrictions on safe abortion services and policies that restrict the access of adolescents and young people to several SRH services such as sexuality education, contraceptive services, and safe abortion. Page 25. Services. Even where policies are in favor of safe abortion services and services for adolescent SRH, social norms prevent many women and girls from using these, and health providers may themselves act as gatekeepers to prevent access to services. Vertical line health system blindness to gender power inequalities in society. Women's limited decision-making power, including on matters relating to their own health, is an important determinant of contraceptive use and practice of safe sex. Restrictions on women's mobility, women's hesitation and lack of experience in traveling unescorted, and social norms against being examined by male providers are all factors discouraging use of SRH services in the limited number of instances where they are available and affordable.